Okay, I want to begin with thanking the Rahmani family for sponsoring the Shiurim Dachi Avinoam. All families have only Simcha, Nachas, and Brocha. Amen. So we're learning about the greatest V'nahafalchu, greater than the V'nahafalchu of Shushan HaBira. The V'nahafalchu that we were talking about the last few weeks, really the past few months, thanks. But we're learning inside Sikas HaTzadik from Tzadik HaKoyin, the V'nahafalchu of an Olam Hafuch. Olam Hafuch Tachtoinim Lamala, which means that Rav Tzadok is explaining that Davka Jews who are in Metzius as far as what they're struggling with, what they're dealing with in life, and the Yetzaharas that they're challenged by Mamish at the lowest place. In his words, smuchim ukshurim l'ra b'toikev. No, smuchim ukshurim l'ra. Jews are smuchim ukshurim l'ra, who are bound and tied up with things that are bad. And Davki says, these Jews, the shurish of the neshama, this is magia, comes from a place, mimokim gavoy yoyisim mikol hadaris, that the neshamas come from a place that's higher than all of the generations of the past. So what's taking place in our learning, in the sugya, is until now we were discussing the said darkness of the time of Ikvis of the Mashiach, of the end of time that we're in right now, Ikvis of the Mashiach, the time of the Akiv, and all the crazy things that are going on in this time of the Akiv. And then suddenly, V'nahafechu means, in the words of Rab Tzadik, V'akorcha sheshurish nishmos mimokum gavoy yoyisim mikol hadaris, that this generation, which is in Metzius the lowest, the V'nahafechu is that the sheshurish of the neshamas, the root of our souls in this generation, the deepest, the highest shirashim of all generations that ever lived. So our question right now is, minolan. It's a nice thing to say, and it gives us a lot of chizik. And it helps us maybe to look at ourselves and our kids and our time in a more optimistic way. But you have to ask, minolan. From where did he take such a thing? Who gave Reb Tzadik? It's not just the Reb Tzadik. Reb Tzadik is maybe the most articulate of all the tzaddikim when it comes to expressing these things. But who gave the tzaddikim the rishus to say such a thing? Where did he take such a thing? To say that the highest neshamas, we're not talking here about a kumzitz and sitting with a guitar in the dark and telling some bachim having a problem, you guys are the highest, the holiest. It's very sweet. I want to give somebody chizik. But lamaisa, minolan, where's that from? So I was thinking over and over again whether I should talk openly about this inyan, but I decided to do that. Because if not, then the ik would be chasim and hasayif, and the ik would be missing. So even though I'm not so comfortable discussing in an open way certain inyanim in Kabbalah, but here, unless at least if I don't share a little bit of what the Nekuda Pnimis is, then the ik will be chasim and hasefer. Then after everything, it could be just a feeling after leaving a nice kumzitz. That's really nice to say that, but like, what are you talking about? Why is that? Where is that? What does that mean? How do you do such a v'nahafeichu? And again, Reb Tzadik wasn't making this up. So how do you do such a thing? What does that mean? the lowest is the lowest, the highest is the highest. Until now, all of our lives we've been taught that Moshe Rabbeinu was the highest and that we're the lowest. And then we began this whole series of this section of Shirim with what the Rebbe Yashab said, that no, Moshe Rabbeinu was Mamash Makana to our generation. That's right. Remember how we began? Moshe Rabbeinu, Me'alkol Pnei Adam, Moshe Rabbeinu was Makana. He looks at us and he says, wow, I'm Mamash embarrassed before them. So this from Hafechu, that all of our lives we're taught Moshe Rabbeinu is the highest and we're the lowest. And now suddenly, we're looking at ourselves. Reb Tzadik says this thing, the Rashab, all these tzaddikim saying this, and Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you think? Moshe Rabbeinu is Makane us. We don't know how to even spell Moshe Rabbeinu. And he's Makane us. What does that mean? So I'm going to have to say some words now. Most likely around 60-70% of the Chevra right now are not going to understand exactly what I'm talking about. The others who are more familiar with the Svarim will. And I'm not going to explain everything, so if you have a question, it might be a little bit bizarre, Ian, because I'm not sure that I have rishus to even talk about these things, Barab. That's the truth. I'm generally, over the years, pretty careful about this stuff. And I don't want, just because I'm getting old, to start, you know, like sometimes old people start talking about things they shouldn't be talking about. So I don't want to be like an alta, you know, an alta yid. I have to be careful to watch my mouth. There's rishus that we have for things at the end of time that in the past we didn't have rishus to talk about. And like Reb Chaim Vital says in Hakdamah, that it's not only rishus, but mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to talk about certain things. So I'm not going to explain everything clearly. Bez Hashem, over the next two or three shiurim, slowly it's going to become clear. But right now, I want to just give over the words. The words. And you hear them, and if they register, because Mitzvah Hashem in the future, all of us are going to be living with these, with this inyan. It's just that you're not familiar with some of the words or some of the terms. We didn't grow up with them. So I'm asking you to mirosh for mechila and a little bit of patience. One of the deepest secrets of all of Torah, which I have mentioned this in the past, but we didn't really go into it, but one of the deepest secrets found in all of Torah, in all of Tanakh, and all of Yiddishkeit, is a funny, strange little parasha at the end of Vayishlach. At the end of Parshas Vayishlach. It's one of those that, like, when you come to, so you have a little bit of relief because Shnai Mikrecha Targum goes very well. Because it's just telling us about Eila Hamloch Meshamolcha Be'eretz Edom. The kings, the genealogy of Esav. That's really what it is, of Edom. These are the kings, Eila Hamloch Meshamolcha Be'eretz Edom. And the reason it goes very fast for Shnai Mikra is because Vayimlach Vayomas, Vayimlach Vayomas, and there's not much. What do you look? Rashi, you look, that this was a king, and then he died, and he ruled for this many years, and then he died. Except for the eighth king. The eighth king, Melach, his name is, each of the names is amazing, but the last king, the eighth, is Melach Hadar. Hey, Dalad Reish. By him, it does not say what word? Vayomas. Steitnish. Doesn't say that he died. Doesn't say Vayomas by Melech Hadar. Now, this parasha in Chumash is the main headquarters of the remez, of the hint, of the secret of Torah that when we understand it, even on our level, will help us to look at ourselves, at our kids, at our time, in an entirely different way. In a completely different way. This parasha is the clearest remez of the side of Shviras HaKelim, of the shattering of vessels. In the language of the Chachamim that you have all heard, and questions have been asked because sometimes even the kids in the yeshiva heard this nusach, the Chazal Yusuf, Bara Eilamas, or Bara Eilamas, Bara Eilamas, the Hechviva. That Hashem, before our world, created worlds, and He destroyed them. Until He came to this world and says, this is the world that I want. It's Bara Eilamas Vechviva. So there were worlds that died. There was a Vayimlech Vayamas, Vayimlech Vayamas, that it was Bara Eilamas, there were worlds that existed, and that were discontinued, couldn't continue to exist, until finally, kivyochel, not for lack of success or chas v'chalila, an inability to get things right the first time, chas v'shol, b'yir elmas v'chivivan. Until Hashem, this kat hanonia, this is the one that I like. Hashem's baruch doesn't experiment, it's not mistakes. But there was a mitzias of some sort of vayimloch and vayamas. That there was a world and the world died. That reality couldn't continue. Hashem made it in such a way that it should be vayimloch vayamas. Until finally, when it comes to Melech Hadar, to the last one, now why is this located in the kings of Edom? And these are all very, very, very big. And it's not for now. But when it came to the last king, there it doesn't say Vayamas. So one of the great chidushim of Pnimius HaTorah that was revealed to us primarily through the Ari HaKadosh, and all the Svarim, of course, but primarily through the Arizal, was that there was in the past light that was so great, that was so powerful, that when that light was infused into the spheres, into the kalim of creation, again, I'm just saying the words, so we should be able to register the words, and then we'll try to talk a little bit more pashut over the next few times. That when that light was infused into the kalim of creation, into the spheres of creation, when it was all l'beratzon Hashem, as the Arizal says at the beginning of Eitz Chaim, when it came, when it was God's will to bring about a world, and that this would be a world where there would be free choice, and in order that there be free choice, there would have to be a terrifying mitzias of what? Of evil. Of evil. So this light in the vessels of creation was so great that the kalim shattered, that they broke. Okay, I'm not talking chas v'shalom about something you could touch. But the kalim broke, the kalim shattered. This is called Shvirus HaKalim. Again, I'm only saying certain things in parentheses for those who are learning these in Yonim, so just to remember, we're not talking about in Atzilus. This happened in Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. It didn't happen in Atzilus. The highest reality, of course, is Batel, Klape Hashem. There's no Inyan in Atzilus, Chas V'Shalom. In the highest, highest reality, where Elokus is absolutely bad than what it is, there's no such thing as any faults that are woven into the system. The system is beneath Atzilus. We're not talking about Atzilus, we're talking about Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. This shattering that Hashem planted, this bug that Hashem planted into creation, caused there to be a disengagement on some level between the highest reality of Elokus, which is Atzilus, where everything is God in the clearest way. There's no such thing as any Ra, Hestapanim, Atzilus. A disengagement between that reality, that all-encompassing everythingness of Atzilus, and the lower dimensions of reality, Ria, Yetzira, obviously all the way down to where we are, which is the Asiyah, Shabasiyah, the lowest of all worlds, Ad Kedei Kach, which it's physical. And it's physical Ad Kedei Kach that you and I are actually experiencing this world. Kilo, it exists on its own. It doesn't have anything that's godly about it. We don't see anything. This is called, of course, the Olam HaTohu. That reality is the Olam HaTohu. As a result of that disengagement, where there's bilbul, a lack of shleimus, and even in Bria Yetzira, and Bria Yetzira, there's certain inyanim. We're not going. It's not for us. Now we don't have to talk about it. We're talking about here. And by the way, this Shvius HaKelim, even with the Shvius HaKelim, we're only talking about the lower seven spheres. Again, I'm only putting that in for the people who are learning that know what I'm talking about. We're talking about the lower seven spheres of Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes. We're not talking about Chabad. So even the Shvius HaKelim, as is experienced in the lower worlds, we're talking about in the seven lower spheres, not in the spheres of Chabad, in the highest spheres of Meichen. And as a result of this disengagement, separation, being dislodged from the infinite reality of Elokus, where you can't make any mistakes, there's no such thing as anything other than God. But as a result of that dislodging, that bug that Hashem made in creation, each sphere was able to say, from Chesed was able to say, Ani Emloch. Ani Emloch. Meaning, what's Chabach Matander? I don't have with another sphere. Everything is me. Everything is me. Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, each sphere is a separate Metzius, doesn't need the other one. Ani Emloch. Now again, the purpose of this Shvira, of this terrible shattering, of this catastrophe, this primordial catastrophe, the purpose of this is to plant the roots in creation for pirud and ribui, that one can feel separated from God, that the world appears to have many things that are not godly, many things ribui, where people in the past believed in many gods. And that every single nivra, every single thing that exists, experiences existence, even to some degree a malach, but certainly all the way down into a sea of human beings and animals and everything exists in such a way of ani emloch, as a nivra, as something separate that's independent of God. That's independent. That's not swallowed up in that reality of Elokus. The Talmidim of the Gra, Rabbi Isaac Chaver and Pischei Sharm and the Svarm, the Lashem Rol Tzadikim explain that all of the Averis that we do, Lo Aleinu, all of our Averis are coming from that Olam HaTohu, from the world of Tohu, from the world of Shvius HaKelim, because Olam HaTohu is before the scales would begin to be set straight for the Olam HaTikun, the sphere of Das, when there would be that balance between Chochma and Bina, and then that light floating into lower spheres that would be joining them together, the right side, the left side, Zoch and Akeva, Chesed and Gevura, and so on. That's the world of Tikun. That's the world of Tikkun. So Chet comes from a Ruach Shtus, an Irish guy. Bli Das means without being Makusha, without being attached to the world of Tikkun. The Goyin says that our affairs come from the Olam HaTohu, from that confusion of Olam HaTohu, without Das. And as we've spoken about in the past, therefore, when a person doesn't aver, there's a stalkus of the neshama. That part of himself, of Atzilus, within the person himself, doesn't participate in the sin. Because that there's a part within me and you that knows the truth and cannot be an accomplice to a crime. So when the Sfarim say that when a Jew sins, the neshama is mistalekes, the neshama runs away. It's not like this thing like a little person, you know, running for the hills. It means that the etzem of a Jew can't be mishtatev, can't participate, can't be an accomplice to something which is neged its entire mitzias of elokus. The whole yontif of permis to megala, that's the inyan of adaliyad. So going into this whole inyan is very much tied into Purim. Which in that way it's higher than Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur is an inyan of Ni'ila and Psach Lanu Shar, to open up a Shar, the time of Ni'ila Sashar. At the time that the gates are closing of Purim is this, everything is wide open, and Esther Malka is standing mamish over there by the king. It's in that place where the cover, the mask, the disguise is removed. In that place, so it's not possible for a Jew to sin. Not because he wants to be good, but because thus is thus, because that's his life. It was the highest madrega of Bechira was of Acharta Bechaim. Right? The Rosh Hashanah says, hey, look, I put before you Chaim is a Toiv, is a Mav, is a Ra. V'charta b'chaim. It doesn't say V'charta b'toiv. It says V'charta b'chaim. Because the highest Bechira of all is not to continue on with this business of Toiv Ra, of Araham and Baruch Mardchai. The highest Bechira is to come to a place where I don't have a choice at all. This is my life. This is who I am. It's not a matter of figuring it out and how can I? I don't know if I could do this. V'charta b'chaim. V'charta b'chaim means that's my existence. That's my existence. It's a place of that's higher than our Haman Bar Chamar, where I have to make choices. Adli means I don't have to make this to try to figure things out. Is this right now? Is this Araham or is this Baruch Mardchai? Should I do this mitzvah? Should I not do the Aveira? Araham or Baruch Mardchai? Well, Purim is a place that's higher than all of that. Purim is a place of a Vacharta B'chaim. That's why the Gemara in Megillah tells us that the Gemara is asking about Halal. So he said Halal when we left from Abdus to Cheres, right? That's the Gemara's question. When we left Mitzrayim from slavery to freedom, so when it comes to Purim, which is from Misa to Chaim, Lachas Kama V'Kama, right? That was the question in the Gemara. So there was a gzeira over each and every Jew. Lahashmi, Laharvi, La'abed, every single one of us. And then there was an inyan of L'chaim, L'chaim, L'chaim. That's why the whole inyan of Purim is to make a L'chaim. It's a different Bechira. It's not a Bechira because I want to do the right thing. It's a Bechira because that's my life. That's who I am. That nekuda of the neshama of Esther Hadassah, he Esther, in the presence of the king, when all the gates are open, it's not like Ne'ilah, we have to scream and cry and yell. And which is our generation also, the Indian of Purim is most connected to our time. They never make such a big deal about Purim like in our times. Mm-hmm. Because the Indian of Purim is the biggest yontif of Achrisi. Because and Esther Malka came to the king, Ashalaika does, you know. Va'ani Lenik Reisi Lavan. Shalaika does. When was there a bigger generation of Shalaika does than our generation, which is of unworthiness? That's exactly what we're talking about for Reb Tzadok. The lowest generation. Esther Malka is the. Everything that was going on in Shushan is very, very much like what's happening now. Very, very similar to what's happening now. Very, very similar. In so many ways, it's what's happening now. It's very, very similar to Shushan. We feel very connected to Purim because we feel now like it's at Mamish Erev Purim. Everything is very Purim-dik. But the inyan of Purim is that Esther Malka says, Kasha Avadati Avadati. If I don't go in, I can't live. The Jewish people are going to die. There's no choice. It's the highest madrega is that there's no choice. When a person realizes that's my entire existence, that's what it means to make a l'chaim, ad l'yada. Everything, it's my entire life. So the Gaon is saying that all the averus that a Jew does, the possibility that a Jew should do something against the Borei Olam is, it's an absurdity. It's crazy. It's a ruach shtus. It's blidas. Blidas. Yisrael lo yoda. Ami lo hezboinan. Blidas. The tikkun of that is Purim is ad lo yoda in Kedusha. But to sin is blidas. Blidas. It comes from Shvius HaKelim, from Tohu, from a Shigaon of Ani Emloch, of not to see the bigger picture. That's Aleph. Now, Beis was the outcome of Shvius HaKelim. The result of Shvius HaKelim. Okay, I'm asking Mechila, this all sounds like gibberish, please forgive me. It's not gibberish. But if it's not understood, just again, the words are words of the Svarma Kedoshim and should be taken in a very serious way. And Mitzvah Hashem, we'll try to, over time, to understand the Namad Rege. The outcome of Shvius HaKelim, one of the consequences of Shvius HaKelim, was something that you've all seen. Anybody that's ever opened up a Chassidish Sefer, one of the things that everybody sees in this form, when you open up this form, and one of the things that you always say, I don't know what that means, but it sounds bad. I don't know what it is exactly, but it's something is going on, is that nitzaitzes, right, sparks, have fallen everywhere. So like, when you start to learn, you think that like little snowflakes, or little pieces of dust or ashes that are spread out through all of creation. These nitzoytes HaKadoshim, there are sparks of that primordial light. Again, I'm not talking about physical things. There's the light of Elokus that has fallen into the realm of the klipas, of Tumah. Again, there's not an accident. Is how Hashem's Baruch made the world. That these nitzaitzes, which is what the story of the lost princess is all about, Pnimius, Rabbi Nachman's story, of the princess, the lost princess, who's in the palace of Lotov, the king of Lotov. These nitzaitzes are imprisoned, literally imprisoned, in the world of darkness of Tumah, of Tohu, and they're chalishing for their tikkun. The light is chalishing to be rejoined. Like the princess, it's chalishing to be rejoined with the prince, with her father. And somebody needs to volunteer or be sent. Volunteers to be sent to rescue the lost princess, these sparks, this light. Because the ultimate tikkun is the restoration of all light. At that time when the light will be able to be together, the kalim, the or and the kalim of tikkun, and all the birum are finished. So these nitzaitzes of Kedusha, the mashal that's always used in this form has to do with light. But I'm not talking about something of chashon, it's physical, but these nitzaitzes of Kedusha are not only in the wrong place, not only have they fallen into bad places in this world, it's worse than that. Listen carefully, because this is where we come into the picture, we start to come into the picture a little bit. It's not just that the nitzaitis alike are in bad places. It's that as a result of these nitzaitis of Hashem's light being in the realm of impurity, in the klipas, in the tumah, the tumah itself has the ability to thrive, to exist. In other words, Hashem does not feed tumah in a direct way. Hashem doesn't feed, he doesn't nurture, he doesn't nourish tumah directly. Hashem is tov u'meitiv. So the way Hashem Zbach made the world is that he has a method to be mefarnes, the koiches of tumah, to give a parnasa, to give life to the koiches of tumah, through the nitzaitis that are present throughout creation in the klipas of tumah. Because Hashem infuses light continuously into those nitzaitis, mitzad ha-toiv, u-meitiv, into those nitzaitis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpi achiz, his life and his light into those nitzaitis, in order that they should be able to continue living until the time that they're going to be redeemed by us, that they should be able to continue living. And as a result of the presence of those nitzaitzais that are being fed kivyochel by Hashem's chiyas and light, tumah is able to have a kiyum. The tumah itself, the whole reason that the palace and the king and all the parties are going on is because of the princess. The whole reason that everything is going on in the world is because of us. Because the tumah and the klipas, that's what's called a klipa, because the klipa doesn't, what's the klipa? That comes on. The klipa's chis is only because it has the orange, it has the apple, right? It's not the klipa. So the way that tumah is able to exist is because it has a yanika, it's nursing, it's stealing. You see in the Svarim, the lashon of stealing, of taking and stealing and grabbing from the side of Kedusha, from that hashpah of the Nitzaitzes. And from that ruchnisdike food, from that ruchnisdike life and light that Hashem is injecting into the Nitzaitzes, the side of tumah, the klipa, by virtue of its surrounding and being attached to Kedusha, is able to live, is able to breathe. In the Lashon of Chassidus, in Tanya, in the fifth parak, and in Tanya, in Perek of Tes, the other Alter Rebbe writes in Kuntres Achon, there in the Tanya, fifth parak, Muda Zois, Shekol Issa Shabo'olam Yesh Lo Yishara Shemekor Chayim Beklipas. Every Issa, everything that's forbidden, it's shayrish. Notice, it's forbidden means it's tumah, a piece of chazer. The Tanya says, how does a piece of chazer, how does it exist? A piece of chazer, how does it exist? So the Tanya writes, muda zois, shekol issa shebo'olam yesh lo shayrish u'mekor chayim beklipas. It's drawing its life from that place, the klipas, meaning the kedusha that's in the klipas. Shem loy kain lahayochel liyos b'mitzias ba'olam bilti hashpor el yoyna. Because nothing can exist without hashpor el yoyna. Not a piece of chazer, not the coronavirus. Nothing can exist without hashpor el yoyna, without a chiyas of elokus. It can't exist. Now, the Tanya talks about chavtes, is that, God forbid, when you and I do things that we shouldn't be doing, when we're doing aveiros, we're moisif chiyas to these karchas of tumah. In other words, we're empowering the king of impurity and the princess is screaming, gevalt, gevalt, gevalt. In other words, we're making the king of impurity and the palace walls thicker, of the klipas thicker, when we do aveiros. In other words, when we buy into that delusion of tohu and we opt for the king of tumah, and not to rescue the nitzaitzes, like I don't make a proper bracha on a glass of water, something like that. So the klipas, the tumah, is able to become stronger Now, Gimel. That's Beis Gimel. When the Nitzaitz, when the spark is taken out, is rescued. I can't keep even by a simple way of saying a proper bracha, having kavana. Just an easy example. When that Nitzaitz is rescued and is brought back into the Or of Elokus, so then the Tuma is left without Chiyus. This could be explained also as in a marshal of medicine and the bacteria and so on. I just don't know that stuff enough to explain it properly. But anybody that's familiar with how these things work, how viruses and diseases work, it's the same in you. So it's only that's a marshal of what's happening in the Olamus, how these things work. What happens is that then the tumor loses its chiyas, and it's misbatel. Then the tumor is gone. So we understand. The tumor fights fiercely, ferociously, not to lose the light of Kedusha that gives it its chiyas. Not to lose. Do you know, I'm sure you do know, we spoke about this in the past, that the Germans, Yamach Shimon, in a very, very bizarre way, there were certain Jews that they preserved. Just like the Vatican and just like the Church years earlier, saw to it that there should be Jews that would be kept alive. Without going into Pratim, even though the goal of the Church back then, now they're looking into the archives of the Tzaddik of the Pope from the time of the Muhammad. You know, this Pope gave Rishus to look into the archives. They're going to see some interesting things over there. The Church wanted to destroy all the Jews in the world. Nevertheless, part of Church dogma is that they remain behind something of the Jews to bear witness. That's what they called it, to bear witness. And Hitler, even though he wasn't a frum guy, you understand, he had an Indian like this too, that there have to be Jews somehow. There's going to be some part to preserve Jewish people, Prague was going to be one of those places, and the museums and so on, to keep Sefer Torah. He's misnabev, and the Indian of the tomb is that it realizes that if there's no trace of the Jewish people in the world, then the world can't exist. There's no chiyus to the world. Just take a trip to the Ukraine and Poland and see like how much fun it is over there. If you want to have a good time, it's nothing like hanging out in Sosnovce for a weekend, you know. To go see what, live it up in Lublin, you know. It's a garnish McGarnish, the whole place. The whole thing is finished. When the Jews left, there's no chiyus. And they know that. That's what they're always inviting them, they're killing them, inviting them. We're sorry, come back. it's like, whole times are crazy. So, there is an unbelievable milchama. We're not going to finish this third nekuda right now, but there's an unbelievable milchama that goes on. The tumah does not want to lose in a strange way, even though the tumah is the anti-kedusha. The tumah's chiyas comes from the kedusha. So the tumah does not want to lose this kedusha, this nitzaitzes. So in order to take out, to extract these nitzaitzes of Kedusha, it's necessary to send like Navy SEALs. Like that's the best marshal I could think of in terms of army and stuff like that. To send like, they're the most choshev, to send like Navy SEALs into the palace of Tumah, into the stronghold of Tumah, to engage Mamish in hand-to-hand combat with the Sidra Achra in that place. Now, you and I don't think of ourselves as Navy SEALs. We're overweight and we're afraid of the flu. We don't think of ourselves being particularly tough, like, you know, characters. And We would never ever believe the Baruch Shalom said at the beginning of time, any volunteers? Not volunteers, throughout history, all of history, there was always this milchama. What we're going to begin with next week. Any volunteers for the end of time? Meaning the thickest, deepest, darkest, scariest. Like when those soldiers went to get bin Laden, right? That's a bad place. It's a bad place. It's like dropping a paratrooper, mamish, like into Nazi Germany, in the middle of the milchama. Which there were soldiers that they went on missions like that. There were people that did that. We don't think of ourselves as being so heroic, but we volunteer for the job. We volunteer for that job. To go behind enemy lines. Mamish. To go behind enemy lines. And in that place, behind enemy lines, to fight for the Bari Olam, to try to hold on to your emunah, to try to hold on to benching, to tefillin. In that place, when you're behind enemy lines. Not a regular day when you're in your barracks and you were stationed like in North Carolina, you know what I mean? You're behind enemy lines. You're not like a Yid that was stationed in summer, 1943, because they saw that you're not from the, big fighters, so they put you someplace that you have to, help to send the boots off to the guys in the front. No, you're mamish behind. We're talking about being behind enemy lines, not someplace stationed, in Saratoga Springs or something. But we would have all volunteered for those places, right? That's what we think. No, we're talking about being stationed behind enemy lines. You don't have the luxury of having it easy with your talis and your tefillin and your mitzvahs and there are all kinds of crazy things going on with things that are not good in that place of the headquarters. You're mamish, you're parachuted into Berlin. Into Berlin. And if you win in your particular hand-to-hand combat, if you win, then you get the biggest nitzaitis out, because that's where the biggest nitzaitis are. The ones that made it through all of history and are giving a achias to the sickest, most disgusting klipas. There never have ever been such disgusting, sick klipas. Those are the strongest, most powerful fortresses of Ra that are at the end of time. They make Mitzrayim look like a joke. What we're in now makes Mitzrayim look like a joke. And to be able to go into that place behind enemy lines in the thickest palace of Tumah, and even to be in the milchama of trying to eke out a Torah, a Tefillah in that war with the Klipa, to try today to turn off that, this hour, this minute, turn off that picture on the screen, is what the Svarma are talking about, the godless of the last generation, of this last generation. Let me just give me an extra 5 minutes. COVID Purim. The title in the Svarim of the thickest, darkest, most horrible, frightening klipa. The title that it has in the Svarim is Nukva de Tahayma Rabba. Nukva de Tohem Rabba. That term explains the whole lineage of homosexuality also, which at another time we'll talk about this taiva of homosexuality at the end of time. That's the Inif's time. Masasi David Avdi is best time. Inif Tohem Rabba. Nukva de Tohem Rabba. Nukva de Tohem Rabba. It's unbelievable. that deepest, deepest klipa, the darkest klipa, the klipa, the tumma that has the most vitality, the most tumma, where the tumma is holding on strongest, tightest, those nitzoitzes in that place of nukvet etohem rava are the most powerful, brightest, and that's why they're the biggest prize of all, those nitzoitzes, the princess. Not some schlepper from the suburbs, the princess herself. The princess herself. In that reality that's called, which is the one we're living in, Nukva de Tohem Rava, the Svarim tell us, I'm going to just mimish another 5 minutes, in that reality of Nukva de Tohem Rava, Bechira, free choice is kimat, at least it's a strong line, free choice is very compromised. We were talking about that a little bit from Episodic last week. Free choice is very, very much compromised in that place of Nukva de Tohem Rava. To give an example, and we'll end with this, with a terrible story that some of you might have heard. It's brought down in the Svarim from a long time ago, from before the whole parish of Berlin and Hitler Yimach Shemam. You know that the two brothers, the Rebbe Reb Melech and the Rebbe Reb Zusha, they feared Golas. You know that they went for years in Golas. But there are many, many amazing stories and tikkunim, things that happened during their trips. Of course, they never stayed in one place to sleep twice. They went in Golas. And they were masakin all kinds of tikkunim. They were preparing. They were preparing the kelim for Eresh HaMashiach, for the end of time, and for the Torah of the Baal Shem, to be able to be in the world. Mm-hmm. And when they were in Poland, they came to a certain place, and they were terrified because they saw the Sitra Achra, however they saw that, they saw the other side, they saw the klipa in such a way that they described as holding a cherev shlufa, a sword in its hand, and that the Sitra Achra told them, don't take another step, because in this place we have rishus to be completely in control of this place, and don't take another step. If you take another step, you'll be completely destroyed, and all that you're working for will be completely destroyed. So the Noam HaMelech turned around and he ran away. He began to run from that place, the Rebbe HaMelech. But the Rebbe Reb Zusha stood over there, because he knew that over there was Mamish, the princess herself. Somehow the highest light is in that place at that time. So the Rebbe Zusha, we're told, took another step. He took one more step. And then he trembled in such a way, there was such a pachat, he said, that he felt like he was bitten by the snake. And he too ran away from that place. As the Sitra Achra was screaming, that this is my mokum, this is my rishus. And that story was told by the two brothers many, many years ago. And the place they were in was Ushpitzin, was Auschwitz. Before it ever happened, the Maisa with Hitler. When Ushpitzin was just a nice Jewish shtetl like other shtetl. That place was Auschwitz. And we know that in later times, that at the time when Hitler was Yimach Shemo, when things were turning very, very, very bad, at the beginning of the Second World War, there were a number of great mukubalim that gathered in Yerushalayim, overlooking the Kaisel, and they went there with the purpose of breaking that tumma of Hitler Yimach Shemo, and they turned back and they said that they were not able to go there. They were also very shaken up. One of them died. It's a whole, the story's about it. They were very shaken up from the whole thing. And the words that were found to describe the terror of that matzav was Nukve de Tohemer Abba. Nukve de Tohemer Abba. Because there's a time that's now, that our time has been waiting since creation for the ultimate Geula, and Davke at the end of time, the Rebbeinu Shlom is sending behind enemy lines into Nukve de Tohemer Rabba Mamish, Neshamas of our generation. That's why we spoke 2 years ago about the Neshamas of Tohu in Rav Kook's writings. The Neshamas, crazy, crazy Neshamas, unbelievable, funny, strange Jews. That's our generation. Mixed up, crazy. You know, when you get somebody that's mamish crazy, he goes to places where no normal person would go. That the neshamas that we volunteered somehow, that our neshamas of the end of time were volunteered to go behind enemy lines into that world of Auschwitz, Mamish, and Treblinka, into that world of Nukva de Tohem Rabba, to bring Kavod Shemayim, to be Megala Kavod Shemayim in such a matzav. That's how this Svarim, that's Chelek Aleph of this conversation, understood the Metzius of the end of time. Now, just as a preview of what we're going to be talking about, since all of this is the deepest truth of Torah that we understand, that there are certain neshamas among the paratroopers. You have also divisions. So we're all working for that division, but among the paratroopers there are those that only a select group that are able to actually go into the most disgusting tumah and to remain still with their kedusha, to still believe in God, to still hold on to their belief in Hashem. In Mitzrayim, the Malachim couldn't go. Angels couldn't go. Ani Hashem, Anihu lo acher. Right? And yet at the end of time, there are Jews who are sent on the most daring mission of all to penetrate into the deepest tumas, and to hold on to their belief on Kadosh Baruch Hu, and somehow to do tshuva. And through their tshuva to bring everything out from the palace of evil. Those chevron in our generation, oftentimes who are falling and destroyed temporarily by the klipas that they're in, but then they come out and they return to Hashem, they come back to mitzvahs and Yiddishkeit. Those are the green berets, you understand? Those are the ones who a lot of them were thrown out of the yeshiva, you understand? A lot of the chevra that are the most pushed away, like David HaMelech, Evan Maso Abaynim, Hayis Lereshpin. David HaMelech was a big paratrooper, big paratrooper. In our generation, on some level, we all are. How we were sent into such a place, and what is it that we have to do, and how this works, Mr. Shum will continue with Nachpur.
There's an early mincha at 1:35 here. And also at the dinner.